some of the greatest hits from Sam Kennedy and Craig Breslow on this radio station and on Nesson over the last bunch of weeks. And
Read my lips.
The go-to term seemed to be aggressive, and that was not the result. And we will talk to Craig Breslow about that at 9 o'clock this morning. Red Sox did diddly squat prior to the deadline last night, and so this team, as it is the one that will do their best to make the playoffs. In addition to Craig Breslow on the show this morning, Heidi Watney will join us at 9:20.
9:30.
Okay, yep. You said
we pushed it back a bit so that we have time with the Brez man.
Oh, all right. Well, then.
We have the
hell notes every day.
Well, then we'll call her at 9:20.
Okay, all right. We will definitely get to They Said It coming up momentarily. And disgruntled diehard Mike is standing there. If you find yourself angry at the Boiling Point this morning, you're welcome to come right up. And we'll give you the opportunity to get it all out and scream your frustration at the Red Sox to the rest of the world. But we have some leads left. Now, Courtney said you kind of did your lead, Wiggy, but do you want to?
No, I can expound on it.
Okay.
I can definitely expound on it.
Okay.
The thing I look at with this Red Sox organization is, A, there is way too many cooks in the kitchen, and I don't know who the exact cook is in that kitchen, because Cora was the main reason why they got the deal done with Bregman in the offseason. Breslow did a great job in the offseason in getting guys like Crochet to come in here and some of the other trades that he made that are actually contributing to this team. The issue that I have is that you were aggressive in the offseason. All those things that they were saying were right. But what's going on during the season that when the trade deadline comes around, you no longer have that aggression, at least for this year? In the past, they weren't aggressive in the offseason. They weren't aggressive during the trade deadline. They changed what we saw this offseason on them to be different. And Breslow told us here that ownership has given him the green light to spend or trade players / prospects. Cora told us that he has the ability to make moves on guys that he want, and we know that because of what he was able to do with Bregman. So who is the executive chef in that kitchen? And the biggest problem is you hired a guy in Breslow who did not hire Alex Cora. So you have two guys that are not on the same page, don't have the same philosophy when it comes to trading players, maybe getting rid of prospects, who's going to play, and that's part of the problem that we have here. Because if it was just one guy, we could all point our attention and say, okay, Breslow's the reason why they didn't do this. Not, well, it's all on Breslow, and then we give Cora a pass, because there's no way anybody's going to tell me on God's green earth that Cora, who makes $7 million a year and a guy that they've had on this organization for a number of years, does not have enough power to walk into John Henry's office and say, we need this.
Yeah.
There's no way. I don't care what you tell me.
I mean, Alex Cora, I'm sure, was made aware if they were in on Joe Ryan till the very end that Alex Cora was told about that. Does Alex Cora not say, you know, I demand that we get this deal done. This is how we win a World Series.
Only phone calls the Red Sox were making as 6 o'clock approached was to Alex Speer and Ken Rosenthal saying, we're in on Ryan. Like, it's so stupid. I don't get it. Like, the guy, Chris Cotillo, reported after it, quote, they were never close, unquote. So it was just not true. And yeah. I would like to know, I would love one answer, if I could get one answer from the ownership. This year, when they traded Devers, they saved roughly $20 million. Prorate that contract. It was in May, right? So a quarter of it had already been spent. They got $20 million off the books. Where is that? Is that just in John Henry's pocket? Because it wasn't reallocated. I mean, Matt's and Drake May's brother aren't making any money.
Yeah.
So, like, what happened to that money? You know what I think it did? The new buildings they're putting across the street. Maybe that's where it went. Maybe it went to Liverpool. But it didn't get reinvested, which is what they said at the time. They said, this is not a cost-cutting move. We are reinvesting in the team. And then they never reinvested.
Read my lips.
The position was one of aggression and urgency. Yeah.
I will be interested to hear how Alex Cora responds to questions about it, though, because when he signed his extension, we all believed that he only signed it because they promised him that they were going to make a real run for it.
Right.
Like, we thought that there was no chance that Alex Cora was going to stay here if it was going to be more of the same. So did they lie to him as well?
Yeah,
or
it's $20 million to legitimize the organization.
But he really wanted Bregman, so maybe they gave him that and they said, you want Alex Bregman, you get Alex Bregman and keep quiet come to deadline time.
You get one thing.
You can go to the graduation. We won't bother you.
And here's millions of dollars.
Yeah. I mean, I've been asking Ken for a new laptop for 5 years. I don't get it.
No.
I mean, all right. Wiggy, thank you very much.
You got it.
I do want to lighten the mood a little bit, and we are here at Pier 52 in Fall River, and this show is presented by Miller Lite, and Miller is celebrating their 50th anniversary today when it comes to the original light beer. So I wanted to mention that midway through the summer, talk of the drink of the summer has already begun.
Ooh.
And you, Courtney, and Wiggy are huge fans of the Aperol Spritz.
Oh.
I know where you're going with this. I know exactly what it is.
You do?
It's my favorite drink.
The spaghetti?
Right now.
The spaghetti?
Oh, no.
Oh, so what were you going to say?
Hugo Spritz.
Nope. Because of the economy and where we are.
In this economy?
In this economy, where we are in this economy, the spaghetti, what some call the trailer park spritz, is being suggested as the drink of the summer. It is Miller High Life, Aperol, and a little touch of some spritzy something or other.
Oh.
How do you feel about that?
I love Miller.
Okay.
So
would you like to give it a
try?
That's
delicious.
I don't think that's for me.
I think maybe we should give it a try on the show this morning.
I love it.
I'd give it a go.
Would you give it a go, Wiggy?
Yeah, I like the spritzy thing. The spritzy stuff reminds me of like a Shirley Temple, so with some alcohol in it, so I'm down for that.
It's very different than a Shirley Temple.
Really. No, but
it's more tart, like a Shirley.
Yeah, but I'm talking about the combination.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Because
I'm being honest, Aperol Spritz, I don't really like.
Yeah. No, you don't.
Wiggy loves. I like the Hugo Spritz.
It has that like combination.
What is Aperol? What is it?
It's very tart.
Oh. It's like a liqueur.
I think it's a liqueur. Yes. Yeah, I think it is.
Right.
It is the budget-friendly option for the summer for those of you who are watching what you're spending.
All right, I'll give it a go.
I mean, Miller High Life elevates anything. I'll tell you that right now.
100%. And you get with the original light beer, you get great moments, and this is Boston Sports Original, so I think it all makes sense.
I agree.
Ken, what time? 8 o'clock? 8:30? You want to wait till 9? 8 o'clock? 8 o'clock? Bar opens at 8? Okay.
All right.
We're at the Tipsy Seagull here on a Flex Friday.
We're at Pier 52.
Oh, we're at Pier 52 on a Flex Friday. Tipsy Seagull right next door. This is Rick from Wilbraham.
Hello, Cleveland.
Rick, what's up? Rick, what's going on?
I got a question. I got a question I want you to ask Breslow when he comes on.
Yeah.
He said yesterday in his press conference, and you've been repeating it this morning, is he made a run at several impact players.
Yep.
And not all of them worked. It's implying some of them worked. I want to know which impact players he felt as though he got.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, I think the question right at jump is, who are the impact players that you were going for? The answer is going to be, well, yeah, trade deadline has passed, so I probably won't discuss.
I just want a live cam on Breslow between now and 9. Talk about getting the short straw coming on today.
Yeah.
Oh, God. And he's got to, I mean, honestly, like, he's, you know, different, but, like, it's not on him entirely at all. Like, he's going to speak for the organization, and that's his job, and that's why he gets paid. But he's two factors away from the real decision maker, and that's John Henry. And I think just like Robert Kraft did with Bill Belichick, you give someone a budget, and you say you're in charge, so they can say you're in charge of football, but you're in charge of football to a certain extent. And John Henry pays Sam Kennedy, I don't know how much, to put a good face and spin on his decision to cut costs. And
so you have this squarely on John Henry.
Well, I mean, I have it on Breslow, too, because he told us things that were not true or didn't actually materialize. And you can't say in one of those cuts that we have a very deep farm system and then have Alex Speer and the John Henry-owned Globe say that it was their refusal to trade major league players to get get stars at the deadline. There were players traded all over the place for non-major league players.
That's two different questions, though. You can blame you can blame Craig Breslow for lying, but then you can blame John Henry for not getting anything done. Like, that's how I feel. Craig Breslow, I think he knew that they were not going to get anything done.
What's the upside of saying that at the thing, Courtney, where it's like we're in on Joe Ryan?
Right.
Yeah.
I got the perfect question for Breslow that he can't back out of, Curtis, and that's going to put all the pressure on him to answer whether or not how ownership feels. Because you told us, Breslow, you have the ability to make moves.
Right.
So does that mean, because the fan base is frustrated, is ownership frustrated because of the lack of impact moves that you made this offseason?
Right.
So he has to answer that.
Yeah,
say,
did you fail John Henry's mission?
Well, I wouldn't even say John Henry's mission. If John Henry said, okay, here's the keys to the car.
Right.
You drive it, because John Henry told us, I put these guys in the position to do what they're supposed to do. So if he gave you that ability and you decided, you know what, I don't want to give up these prospects or plays, and that could be the answer. Is John Henry frustrated for the lack of moves that you made to get impact players?
Yeah, and the thing, Greg, I don't understand is, you know, guys like Rob Bradford, who are plugged in despite, you know, disagreements about things on the show. Rob is as connected and probably the hardest working guy on the Sox beat. And he was telling everyone that they were going to make a move. He was on with Ken and I last Saturday at Fenway Park, and someone is telling Rob, he's not making that up.
No.
Bet that everything I have that Rob is not creating a story out of thin air. So now you're alienating the people that are very fair to you, that are, you know, that are not bomb-tossing radio people.
Look at Carrabas. Is there anybody who's more loyal to that organization?
No.
And somebody told him at 5:35 yesterday that they were in on Joe Ryan.
Right.
Somebody went out of their way to tell him that.
So you're in this room. You're in the room. It's the deadline. You're in the bowels of Fenway Park. And instead of calling the general manager of the Twins, you're texting Jared Carrabas?
I
don't think Carrabas would just make that out of thin air. I mean,
unless they were in on him, and somebody, John Henry or Craig Breslow,
right.
I'll leave Sam Kennedy out of it because I don't know how much he has to do with the baseball, the real baseball decisions anyway.
Right. There's a lot
of somebody decided that what they wanted.
Right.
Or Joe Ryan, the organization was not willing to part with.
Right, but there's a lot of people that are in on Sydney Sweeney.
Yeah.
They're not actually going to go home with her.
Yeah.
Like, so it's not a legitimate thing to sit there and say we're in on someone just because you call
them. Yeah, but if the guy has the ability to do it, if Breslow says, okay, if I give up A, B, and C, we can get Joe Ryan. But if Breslow goes, I don't want to give up A, B, and C.
That's on him.
That's on him. And if John Henry goes, well, why the hell didn't you give up A, B, and C to get Joe Ryan? And Breslow goes, well, listen, here's what would have happened. So he talks John Henry into thinking like, okay, maybe that was a smart move. Where John Henry, it's the same thing with Rafael Devers. Rafael Devers, there was issues. John Henry, it seems like, said, I don't care what it is, we need to get this guy the hell out of here. Even if Breslow
after he went out there and made an effort and had, you know, met with him and had breakfast the next morning,
And even if Breslow goes, hey, John, I don't think it's a great move because of A, B, and C, John Henry put his foot down and said, nope, get him out of here. So if John Henry's given Breslow the ability to make moves and then he doesn't do it because Breslow feels like it's not a good move and he feels like I know more baseball than John Henry. John Henry goes, well, what the hell's going on here? Why didn't we do this?
Yeah, and I would say on that too, like, you look at this roster, Greg, and you brought up about what do the players feel today? What does Cora feel? If you're Bregman, do you opt into the deal or do you opt out?
Yeah.
I mean, so there exists the potential that their big celebrated signing is not on the team next year. And he opts out at the conclusion of the season.
Where is Theo in all this?
Yeah, he was just brought in to legitimize it.
So he's not there to help Craig Breslow? Like,
I think Fenway Sports Group, the conglomerate, is worth like $14 billion. So if he got a percent, that's a pretty good deal. And he just sits there, collects some cash, because he's going to create his own ownership group. He's only like 51.
Yeah.
So I think that he's there. He was brought in on good terms because the team needed an injection of faith, and that's what he provided.
All right, coming up, we'll get to They Said It, and I won't tell you what that is because you already know. And now here is Courtney with what is trending this hour.
Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
Trending now brought to you by FindMassMoney.gov. The trade deadline came and went for the Sox, and Craig Breslow did nothing after getting Steven Matz on Wednesday night. They got pitcher Dustin May from the Dodgers in exchange for two minor leaguers yesterday. We'll have Craig Breslow on to answer questions all about that this morning at 9 a.m. The Sox back in action tonight. They have the Astros in town. 7:10 first pitch from Fenway. Sean McDonough joins Will Fleming on the Shaw's and Star Market WEEI Red Sox Radio Network. Shaw's Go Shopping, Get Rewarded. Kick things off with Christian Arcan at 6:10 for the MassMutual pregame show. The Chargers beat the Lions 34-7 in the Hall of Fame game last night. And in Washington, Commanders receiver Terry McLaurin requested a trade. This comes as a result of frustration over contract negotiations. And a lot of people have him landing in New England.
Yeah, I mean, Commanders so close, you would think they would just give the dude what he wants.
Yeah, this is stupid. I don't get what the Commanders are doing.
Well, to be fair, Greg, the last three receivers in the NFL that have demanded a trade all ended up signing contracts with that team. So just because he demanded a trade doesn't mean he's necessarily going anywhere.
Yeah, but what's taking them so long, though? I mean, all the other receivers have all gotten deals done, and they all got their deals done before the start of training camp. If you're the Washington Commanders, your best player and a guy that's going to help you that franchise either make the playoffs or not, what are you doing? What the hell are you not giving this guy a deal?
Well, that was brought to you by FindMassMoney.gov. Go to FindMassMoney.gov and see if you have unclaimed property. You could have unclaimed money from a forgotten savings account, uncashed payroll checks, or a refund check that just never got to you. Go to FindMassMoney.gov today. It is a secure website and takes only 30 seconds to search your name. That's what's trending. They said it. Coming up next.
And good morning and hello to those that are watching the show this morning on either YouTube or Twitch. I haven't said that yet. And a reminder that this show on Twitch is presented by Springer's Jewelers every single day. Go see them in tax-free Portsmouth, New Hampshire. If you're going to buy a diamond, make the capital C commitment. Go see them and get the best deal on a diamond. They'll tell you how to buy a diamond at Springer's in Portsmouth. And they said it, as Courtney said, is next. Chime. You get that one on your own, or somebody requests that?
No, that was a request from multiple different listeners in the old Instagram DMs.
I mean, it makes me feel like it was just yesterday, and I was walking down the halls at Neshoba Regional High School listening to that baby, probably skipping school or something like that. By the way, Fall River shows up and shows out.
Awesome.
Year after year, we are at Pier 52. Flex Friday on the show this morning, Craig Breslow coming up at 9, and I cannot wait to talk to Craig Breslow and to hear what he has to say about the deadline, which passed yesterday. Red Sox do really nothing, and so who that falls on, why they were unable to get something done, if they were in on Joe Ryan, or if you believe they were in on Merrill Kelly, or whoever you believe they were in on. Why were they unable to make a deal happen? We will find out from Craig Breslow coming up at 9 o'clock this morning. We probably at some point have to settle, if we're going to try to settle it, the debate of Zillies or Marcucci's, which started on the show yesterday.
Yeah, about the grinders, the subs.
Yeah, so we have that left to settle this morning on the show.
And can I also say Mission Cold Brew?
Yes.
They came by this morning. Maybe one of the best cold brew coffees I've ever had in my life.
Really?
I'm not exaggerating. I just had the cold brew latte.
You said best seat you've ever sat in.
Yes.
And best coffee.
Yes.
I feel like you're just being...
On this show, best seat I've ever sat in.
Really? Best seat ever.
Well, we're usually in very uncomfortable seats.
Did Ken charge more like American?
Well, I asked him last night, I said, did you get any points, Marriott points? And he said, I don't get any
very
Marriott
sensitive.
Points.
The Bonvoy. He owns Bonvoy.
Courtney, I don't drink coffee really that much. Is cold brew and iced coffee just the same thing?
Stronger. Cold brew is stronger.
Okay. All right.
I mean, really,
smoother
it's just,
too.
They just charge you more by saying it's cold brew.
No, okay. You can tell the difference.
It's really what it is. All right. Let's get to this.
It's time for...
Larry Bird's not walking through that door, fans.
They...
Don't let the Sox win this game.
Said it.
I'm just going to say, they want you to cook the dinner. At least they ought to let you shop for some of the groceries.
They said it. On the Greg Hill Show.
I'm not talking about this.
Everybody got the message?
They Said It, brought to you by Ketch's Law, and they are honoring those who built this incredible city. So whether they drive or they construct or they just care for others, please nominate them when you go to WeBuiltThisCity.com. What is up first this morning, Shime?
Well, Greg, let's start with the New England Patriots. Drake May met with the media yesterday after their practice and talked about the idea of when and where he should be running with the football. Here was Drake May.
I think that's important. I think I faced that in college. I was my first year. I was really kind of running around and, you know, doing some stuff I probably shouldn't have out there with pads on. So I think just taking care of my body and being smart, but also, you know, knowing when it's third down and when it's, you know, near the end zone. Like, I'm 6'5 and 230 pounds. Go get something. So,
I mean, I love it. Like, if you have a guy who has that ability, those who are complaining about it and saying I don't want my quarterback running the football and getting hurt sound ridiculous to me. Yeah.
I'm with you 100%. Just be smart. Like, don't be Josh Allen, you know,
but Josh Allen, yes, I mean, he, in the red zone,
be Josh Allen.
He runs over guys.
I don't want my quarterback run. Like, I want you to get out, get the first down, get the yardage, and then when you start to see those guys coming, then you slide. Yeah. I don't need you to run over nobody.
He has the wherewithal, though, saying, like, I did things last year I probably shouldn't have. So I think that he's going to play much smarter this year.
I like the design runs. Yeah. I mean, if you look at guys that can, whether it's Josh Allen, whether it's Lamar Jackson, whether it's Jalen Hurts, whether it's Jaden Daniels, you can have design runs. You just tell your quarterback, once you start to get where we needed you to get, be smart and get down.
Lamar Jackson has mastered that. Mm-hmm. Like, when he was early in his career, he would take risks that were unnecessary. And Chime and I were talking after TC yesterday, comparing Joe Burrow to Lamar Jackson. Lamar Jackson single-handedly makes a team a playoff team. Joe Burrow has Ja'Marr Chase and T. Higgins, and Lamar Jackson has a tight end. That's it. His best receiver in his career has been a guy from Boston College in Zay Flowers. Lamar Jackson has won 75% of his games, and TC talks about winning. Lamar Jackson is the most valuable player outside of Patrick Mahomes, potentially, of the last 10 years in the NFL.
Yeah, there's different area codes. Patrick Mahomes is in one by himself.
Yep.
Then the next area code is Lamar and Josh Allen.
Right.
You can argue on who you have better there, and then Joe Burrow's on that next level. Joe Burrow's not on the same level, in my opinion, as Lamar Jackson and Josh Allen. Not that he's way behind them, but Josh Allen and Lamar, I would probably, if I had to take one, I'd probably go with Josh Allen, because I think Josh Allen is a better thrower of the football.
And he doesn't miss football games. Like, the guy plays in every single game.
But if you get
Lamar plays in a lot too, though. You know, Lamar doesn't miss that much.
He does, but there's been multiple seasons where he's only played in 10 games. Josh Allen, like, never misses a football game.
But I would also say, if you gave Lamar Jackson Andy Reid, I don't know how much worse he'd be than Patrick Mahomes. If Patrick Mahomes wasn't in that offense,
preach.
I mean, I just think
– I don't know. He's a better thrower of the football. I think Mahomes
– Lamar Jackson is a great thrower of the football.
No, I'm not saying he's not. But if you put Patrick – I feel like Patrick Mahomes has the ability, like, the in the Brady category.
But his last 2 years have been totally mediocre.
Yeah, I understand that, and I get the down years. But
like, in other words, if Lamar Jackson had those 2 years, he would be getting ragged on all over the place.
Finish your sentence, though. He has the – what does he have that's Brady-like?
He has the ability to throw the football, and he has the ability, I think, to kind of understand the defense, read the defense. He's accurate with the foot. And I'm not saying Lamar Jackson isn't. I just think if I had to choose complete quarterback, that I would go, obviously, Mahomes first. Then I'd probably go Josh Allen, because I think Josh Allen is a little bit better throw when it comes to the football, more accurate, has a better understanding. Now, Josh Allen gambles a lot.
I might this will be crazy, but I might pick Josh Allen because I think he is – because of his size, he's more durable, and he's somebody who is – I don't know that Mahomes is going to last forever. He's been hurt last couple seasons.
He's been dinged up, yeah.
I agree with you, but if your team is down with 2 minutes left to go, would you rather Josh Allen have the ball or Patrick Mahomes? And I would rather Mahomes.
Yeah. All right, what's next, Shine?
Well, Greg, let's finally talk about the Boston Red Sox. Craig Breslow spoke to the media last night after the trade deadline had passed, and here's some of Craig's excuses on why they didn't end up making moves.
But then in terms of, you know, potentially dealing from a surplus with our major league team, you know, I think over the last 2 to 3 weeks, you know, it became clear that all 26 guys on our roster were contributing to what we were doing. And, you know, we weren't willing to take a hit to our major league team and potentially impact the 2025 season, you know, in favor of trying to repackage or repurpose in a way that might have improved the future. And there weren't really opportunities to both trade off of our major league team and improve our 2025 outlook. So we felt like it was best to kind of leave that group as it was and, you know, try to use what I think is a strong and deep system to try to improve the team. And I think, you know, with Dustin and Steven, we did that. But in some other pursuits, like I said, you know, it wasn't from an unwillingness to talk about anybody in our system.
Okay, so he is telling you, and I assume he's going to say the same thing when he comes on the radio this morning at 9, that they were unwilling to trade anybody that is currently on this roster, and they couldn't get the deal done with the prospects that they have for Merrill Kelly, for Joe Ryan, for whomever. So,
ooh, I just got another good question off of that.
How do you simultaneously have a great and deep farm system,
right,
but are unable to acquire a talented pitcher at the deadline with that farm system?
Right, because maybe – who said it earlier? Greg, did you say it? Maybe others don't view your farm system as being that good.
I mean, you know, baseball Statcaster 9748 says they have one of the best farm systems in Major League Baseball.
So right, to Curtis's point, you can't say we have one of the best farm systems and then we can't get deals done with our prospects.
I mean, the Yankees got a deal done. We talked about it earlier. Four prospects, 27-year-old stud. Curtis, you're the baseball guy.
Right.
They couldn't get a deal done for a legit arm without parting with somebody that's on this roster, whether it be Jaron Duran or whomever.
But he didn't even live by what he said. He's already traded off the major league roster this season.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he said that while right now we're not better, we believe that we have the resources to improve the team and win this year by building with this club. The doublespeak and, like, the surplus and these, like, buzzwords that they use are so ineffective. Like, I hear that, and I'm like, the reality that he lives in is miles from where Red Sox fans are.
Well, he also understands that there's no sympathy for them, even though they worked really hard at the trade deadline.
Yeah.
So
yeah, you were calling Jared Carabas.
What's next?
Well, here is Ken Rosenthal, Baseball Insider, talking about the Red Sox, their approach to the deadline, and what kind of deadline it was.
Epic fail. Comes off an epic fail last year's deadline with Craig Breslow, and this was an epic fail as well. Now, again, they met the same problem that the Cubs ran into. Joe Ryan is another starting pitcher who wasn't traded, but my understanding is any talks that they had with the Twins were feeble at best. They didn't come at them hard. The Red Sox are one of many teams that uses modeling and tries to figure out what the best values are, and it's all about efficiency and getting the best deal and this and that and the other thing. At some point, you've got to fire. And they did not even address first base. I know they've gotten decent work out of Romy Gonzalez and Abraham Toro, but my goodness, that was a position where they had to act. Didn't get a starter other than Dustin May, who has not been a very successful starter for the Dodgers. And in their bullpen with Steven Matz, he's a swing guy. He can be effective, but my goodness, they needed more.
Yeah. No, I spot on, and I was not that interested in dealing with first base. That was the last priority for me. I wanted you to go out and get a legit number two or somebody who you felt like could become at the end of the season a legit number two, and they didn't do it.
So, and this weekend, you'll start to see it, Greg. We thought they're getting a pitcher definitely. They've already moved Crochet off of tomorrow and to Monday, so this is going to be compounded by the fact that your ace is going to be slowed by the innings limit that he's going to hit. And you don't have someone that you could have used, like a Joe Ryan, to make that less painful.
Well, you better win this series, because if you lose this series, believe me, you're getting killed now. You're gonna get killed even more.
Do we have time to activate the disgruntled diehard mic? Quick, Curtis, is that all right?
Perfect.
Go ahead. Step right up there, angry fan, allowing you a little therapeutic process here. Good morning.
Good morning.
You are
Luis.
Your feelings this morning.
From Connecticut, by the way. Roadshow, Connecticut.
We will do a roadshow in Connecticut if I die trying to make it happen. I promise you.
Or we'll trade.
Excellent.
Ken. Yeah. Yes. Yes.
All right. So first of all, Craig Breslow should be ashamed of himself. This is reminiscent of it was a little tease. 2004, Nomar goes to the Cubs. We get Minkiewicz and Orlando Cabrera, which we all know worked out well. So when Ralphie, goes to the Giants, gave us a little shred of hope.
Yeah.
Like, wow, hey, 2004, maybe everybody's shocked that, wow, Devers, our best player at the time, gone. Maybe he's going to make something happen. Nothing. Zero. Zilch. Liar. Liar. He should be ashamed of himself. And me being a lifelong, born and bred in Pawtucket, lifetime Sox fan. I'm only 2 years younger than you,
yeah.
Greg.
Yeah.
So I've been through the trials and tribulations.
62.
You're pissed. You're pissed.
So, I mean, very pissed.
Yeah.
Who would be pissed?
Okay.
Craig Breslow. I mean, when he comes on the show, I mean, of course he's just going to lie through his teeth like he usually does. He should be ashamed of himself.
Okay. All right. Right. Well, there you have it. Round of applause on Disgruntled Diehard.
Yep.
So,
there's a lot of them.
There are a lot of them. I think that there are those that are unhappy this morning.
You don't think him talking about a surplus is going to satiate the fans?
I don't think they understand that part of it, but maybe they do. All right, was there anything else, Shime?
Nope, that'll do it today, Greg.
Okay, that is They Said It. This is Jason from Hyde Park. Jason, good morning.
Good morning, guys. How are we doing today?
What's up?
I just want to say that Curtis has been right the whole time about the Red Sox. They traded Devers. They didn't allocate that money anywhere. They said they were going to move and get ball players to make this team better, and they did it. They just folded and said, here you go. This is the team you're going to get for the rest of the season. So playoffs, yep. maybe not. But Curtis, I want to say you were right the whole time.
Thank you, yep. Jason. I love right. you. And I will also add, do you remember how they activated David Ortiz to sully the name of Devers? Like, that's what they invest time and money into. It's let's get Poppy out there to say that Devers was a bad teammate while doing nothing to save to reallocate the money we saved in that deal. They care about PR. That's where their energy was yesterday, and not in actually building a team that is worthy of the fan support.
All right, it's a Flex Friday in Fall River, and when we come back, we'll get to Courtney and to today's news, and then Craig Breslow on this show at 9 at WEEI.
Well, a DoorDash driver in Methuen was held at gunpoint during a carjacking yesterday morning. It happened just before 3 a.m. when a driver from Lawrence was making a fast food delivery, and it happened at the crossroads of Coolidge and East Prospect Streets. Police went around and asked all the neighbors in the area who ordered this DoorDash. Nobody did. So this poor driver was set up. Somebody called it in, got him to come to this specific location.
Yeah.
There were multiple people there ready to rob him.
Well, we know it wasn't Shime because he's never had food delivered ever in his life.
Correct.
Right.
Yeah. He always gets up and walks to get it, right?
I drive to get it, but...
So a setup for a carjacking?
Yes.
Yeah.
They believe the guy was set up. They're investigating it as we speak. Here's one neighbor on BZ.
It's awful. You know, I feel bad for the person driving, you know, the DoorDash driver, because he's out there working, you know, at 3 o'clock in the morning delivering food.
It's awful. The funny thing on weekend mornings in Southie are all the orders that were just delivered and the person passed out beforehand.
Yeah. They forgot to go get it.
It's like Wendy's, there was Chinese food.
On my floor this morning, there was a McDonald's bag outside somebody's door.
But in all honesty, what a great feeling, because you wake up, you're like, oh, did I eat that? And then you realize you never did, so you have to go to the gym.
It's right there. Yeah. Is this like dumbest criminals ever? You're going to rob a DoorDash when everything that you do on DoorDash is electronic.
Oh, that's right.
Well, they wanted
there's
the car.
No cash.
They wanted the car. It was a carjacking.
But who's they have to be able to find the person that requested the DoorDash, right?
Nobody did. That's what they're.
Yeah, but somebody had to put the order in to get the person to the location.
Oh,
so
they
should
put
be
a
able.
Card in.
They should be able to figure out who it was.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Unless they stole a credit card and they did it all that way. But
And so you're jacking somebody for their 2010 Toyota Corolla?
Well, maybe they needed the car.
Yeah. I mean, there was a truck jacking yesterday in Everett of a trash truck. So
yeah.
Well, that's different. You can make money on a trash truck going around and picking up all the trash that the workers that are on strike ain't picking up.
Yeah, it started in Medford when the guy got the trash truck, led police on a car car chase.
I don't think it was
He was racing. That's he was going pretty fast. And it ended in a crash near the Encore in Everett. After the crash, investigators say the guy got out, tried to gain access to several other cars before taking control of... So it started with an SUV, then he got the trash truck, went on another car chase, and they eventually were able to get him, arrest him. He was rushed to the hospital because he was listed as critical condition. Here's one witness on WHDH.
And they eventually tased the suspect. He gets down. They keep on yelling at him, drop the knife while he's on the floor, and the taser does nothing to him. It doesn't faze him whatsoever. He gets up. They pepper spray him, and he's running towards a police car to try to steal it. The police car is locked. He's not able to get in there, which is why then he runs towards the trash truck.
Oh, resistant to the taser. That's a hard out.
Yeah.
If the taser doesn't affect you at all, then that you've been there before. You've been tased before, probably.
Or alien.
It could be, yeah. All right. We should probably actually take a break and then get to the rest of the news coming up. I think we have an airline incident of the day.
Yes.
We will get to the rest of the news next. We are in Fall River at Pier 52, and it is a Flex Friday, and we'll be right back.